Is Mickey Lawson. I'm a deacon from Palmdale Church of Christ in Palmdale. After I retired here in Las Vegas, the Lord has placed me where it was well pleasing to Him in Victory Road Church of Christ in Henderson, Nevada, where I serve there. I'm not a preacher. I'm a servant. Amen? And so I do desire to serve where He puts me, I will serve. Where He leads me, I will follow. And what He gives me, I shall do to the best of my ability. He says in His word, He will equip us all unto good works. Sharing the gospel is a good works. And I thank you for the opportunity to share it with you this morning. This morning, the lesson's title, we're going to be start with the scripture reading as Psalms. We're going to look at chapter 42 and look at the first three verses. That's Psalms. Chapter 42, verses 1 through 3. Title of the lesson is Thirsty for Life. For those of you who were in Bible class this morning, we were talking about the abundance of life. How do you imagine your life? You know, can you have peace in your life? Can you have prosperity in your life? We're going to continue on a life theme and see what God has to say about life. Again, the title of the lesson is Thirsty for Life, Desiring Communion with the Lord. As we read together Psalms 42, verses 1 through 3, it says, as the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O Lord. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they continually say to me, where is your God? David expresses vehemently his desires toward God in this text. It was when he was shut out from his outward opportunities on waiting on God. When he was banished to the land of Jordan, a great way off from the courts of God's house. David pants after God. He thirsts for God, not the ordinances themselves, but for God, for the God of those ordinances. See, David was not at home anymore in the household of God at this time. And he missed that fellowship, that relationship. A gracious soul can take little satisfaction in the God's courts if it do not meet with God himself there. If we did not believe we were going to meet God in heaven, it'll be a little bit of an empty feeling, a little bit of disappointment. Amen? Amen? Our whole goal is to get to heaven, to be with God in a place where we have no more struggles, no more heartache, no more pain, no more suffering. Okay? That we have His wisdom, His guidance, His grace, His mercy, and His love in abundance. David is saying, if I knew where I might find him, that I might have more of the tokens of his favor, the graces and comforts of his spirit, and his earnest glory. David is seeking all of that. David has an eye to God as the living God that has life in himself and is the fountain of life. And all happiness to those that are his. The living God, that is, not only in opposition to dead idols. See, David know the difference between God and dead idols. But not in opposition to dead idols and the works of men's hands, but to all the dying comforts of this world. Do you ever think about that? That these comforts and things that we have in this world that we hold dear to, mine, and are not willing to share, will die? Fade away, rust away. And this morning's lesson, we were saying thieves can come and steal, the moths can eat it up. There's nothing on this earth that is priceless. David's aware of that. See, there are dying comforts on this earth, but there's nothing but pleasantries in heaven. Things here perish away. See, living souls can never take up their rest anywhere short of our living God. Because that's where we desire to be. We can't take up rest anywhere. I say rest and comfort and peace. It's all in some people say in the bosoms of God. Where he is where all that is. And that's where we should be seeking and keeping our hearts and minds on. We know as baptized Christians, I'm going to try to get to this lesson because this lesson really did spur me on, and I'll try not to be too long-winded. Yeah, I got places to go. We know as baptized Christians the one true and living God. We also know the water is essential in the world. Just as God is essential for abundant life. I'm going to do a parallel here. We know the story of Noah's Ark and see that water can destroy, right? He destroyed the earth with water. And God's promise to Noah in Genesis 9 and 15, he will remember my covenant with which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. The water shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh. Okay? So we see where it literally cleans the earth. All human life, except obviously with the exception of Noah and all that were on the ark. So we see the destructive power of water. In Exodus 14, we see the life that the parting of the Red Sea gave to the Egyptians. We see the power of the water here through the living God, who's the only one who had power to part the Red Sea. I want to come to you from the position and stance as the deer. I'm sorry I don't have that song. I would have tried my best to sing it, but if I did, you guys probably would have left the building. So we won't go there. But for those of you who may remember the song, the verb pant is defined as to yearn. Desire or thirst for water. That's what the deer was doing. That's what the scripture says. He thirsted for water. And water, that deer was thirsting for the water that gives it life. What do you pant for? Don't be a deer. Don't pant to be a deer. Pant to be a child of God who can be blessed by God. And you should be panting and desiring to be that faithful, loyal servant and child of God. Growing stronger in your relationship with God. Here, pant is expressed as a spiritual thirst for God. Okay? Do you thirst for God? My soul pants, thirst for God, a life in Jesus our Lord. I want to drink God, deep draughts of God. I'm thirsty for God alive, full of energy and life-giving. That's what our God gives us, life, and gives it to us more abundantly. Amen? We don't recognize how important, sometimes we don't recognize how important, and those who are not of the body and been baptized into Christ don't know how much life God gives, how much abundant life he gives. Turn with me to John 10:10. We're going to read that again. That was part of our Sunday school lesson again this morning for those who were here. And I just quoted part of it there. John chapter 10, verse 10 says, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pastures. That's actually verse 9. The thief does not come to accept to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly. What he's saying here is, I am the way. Anyone who goes through me will be cared for. will freely go in and out and find pastures. A thief is only here to steal and destroy and kill. I came so that you can have real and eternal life, more and better life than you ever dreamed of. Amen. I didn't know what kind of life that was available to me until I obeyed the gospel. How many of you thought this was all there was, and you was chasing that dream, that vision, that life that you thought was? Do you know filthy rich people have struggles and hardships and difficulties and madness?
Amen.
And have no one to turn to if they're not in Christ. They're all alone in it. Wealth does not guarantee a good life. Jesus does. Let's turn over to chapter 14 in John. Real eternal life, a better life than you could have dreamed of. We all came from somewhere. We all came through our years of education and schooling, and we had visions and dreams and hopes and aspirations for our life. Many of us at that time did not know the abundant life that we can have in Christ. We had plans and dreams for, I'm going to become a phlebotomist. I'm going to earn a big salary. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to have the house on the hill, and I'm going to have the biggest car and the nicest boat. And that's not life. Those are things. They don't give you abundant life. How many people have you heard that have been killed on their boats? Turned over in their road, driving along, going somewhere to have fun, and killed in their motor, beautiful $500,000 motor home. How many plane crashes have you heard of people, and I'm not trying to scare you about flying, because I love flying myself, get me there, but who have not didn't have another day to live, let alone the life they want, but didn't have an opportunity, lost the opportunity to glorify God, to turn their life into Him. Life abundantly and real eternal life is in Christ, not in our dreams, not of things on this earth. And John 14 and 6 says, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and what?
The life.
You want life. But you only find it in Jesus Christ. No one comes to the Father except through me. So now you know how to acquire that life. Jesus said, I am the road, also the truth, also the life. No one gets to the Father apart from me. If you really knew me, you would know the Father as well. Looks like a roadmap to eternal life in Christ. He's not making it difficult. All of us probably drive and see no signs on the freeway and get confused which exit to take. God makes it very clear, very simple, and very easy. The way to eternal and abundant life. 1 John chapter 5, verses 6 through 12 says, this is he who came by water and blood. Jesus Christ, not only by water, but by water and blood. Well, I have a few pages turning. That's 1 John chapter 5. I want you to turn your pages. I encourage you to turn your pages. Don't lean to my understanding, okay? Seek understanding through the Word of God, not the Word of man. Man will lead you astray. Not to say that's what I'm trying to do, but I'm thankful to hear people studying to show themselves approved by turning up and reading for themselves. And it is the Spirit who bears witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear witness in heaven. the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. And these three are one. And there are three that bear witness on earth: the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three agree as one. If you we're at verse 9 now. If we receive the witness of men, which many, many people do, especially in of the denominations, their followers are men. How many of you have been introduced or talked to someone and you ask them where they worship at? Oh, I worship at Brother So at such and such a house. Man's church. I worship a Bishop Billy Ray Jobow. My pastor is Sam Cook, whoever. For what I've just shared with you, none of them can give you eternal life and life abundantly. So where should your focus be? Jesus Christ. Where do you find the truth and the way to get that abundant life? In His Word. You won't find none of these denominational people on earth gave you the inspired Word of God. They gave you their interpretation, their opinion, their thoughts. And they can't save you. If you receive, verse 9 says, if you receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. I don't care what the man says. See what God says. What says thus the Lord? For this is the witness of God which He has testified of His Son. No man can testify of God and His Son. Nobody but Jesus. I have all confidence and faith in Him. Some men are questionable. If we take human testimony at face value, how much more should we be assured when God gives testimony as He does here? Testifying concerning His Son. Whoever believes in the Son of God inwardly confirms God's testimony. Whoever refuses to believe, in effect, calls God a liar, refusing to believe God's own testimony regarding His Son. A person who refuses to believe the testimony of God, I call a criminal. A criminal to the laws and rules and standards that God has set for us to have abundant life. And that's not somebody I want to be connected to. This is the testimony in essence. God gave us eternal life. The life is in His Son. So whoever has the Son has life. Whoever rejects the Son does what? When you reject God and His Word and His Son, you reject life. Because there's only one way to get that life, and that is through His Son. Amen. You want to live? Seek Jesus and His Son. Seek to witness, to be a witness for God. Don't reject Him. I rejected Him for 40 years until I obeyed the gospel. Boy, what abundant life I have now. Like I said this morning, we all came from somewhere. We all struggled to get to where we are today. But if by the grace and mercy and our faithfulness and the study and to show ourselves approved that we write and divide the Word of God and we remain faithful to it. And now we have a life that we didn't imagine, a better life than we could have imagined. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He that comes to me shall never hunger, and that believeth shall never thirst. John 6:35. Do you thirst for God? The life-giving waters of baptism that gives remission of sins, and blood that saves your life and gives you abundant life? Do you thirst for that? That's, in obeying the gospel, that's what we should be striving for, thirsting for. That abundant life in Christ. Like we said this morning, there's so much comfort, so much peace in Christ. Do you remember a time where Christ wasn't in your life and how you felt and how you sorted out difficult times and situations? Now all you have to do is humble your heart, get on your knees and pray, and let him have his way. And I can sleep without tears and a wet pillow. We spend a lot of time before we obey the gospel making our pillows wet. And or sleepless nights. The thing about it is not just for us. We can do, pray, and give the power of God to all those that we love who may be struggling, going through challenges and difficulties, whether they're part of the body or not. Our children, they done flew the coop, left the nest. They have lost their way to God. It don't mean you're powerless, does it? You're not powerless. You have Christ. You can pray for them. You can get God's protection and guidance upon them. I have kids. Actually, I'm a great-grandfather, believe it or not, since I'm only 22 years old. Forgive me, Lord. I lie. What they say, I embellish. Same thing. But we can tap into power, life-giving power, not only for ourselves, but for our loved ones as well. Don't you guys have a prayer list or a prayer chain or whatever going on here?
Yes.
Power of prayer? What the scripture said, the prayers of a righteous man availeth much. We are here in Pahrump, Nevada, and I think I pronounced that wrong, but your child is in Boston going through some things. Power of prayer. Don't have to hop the airline. Don't have to book a ticket. Don't have to stay overnight in the airport because the flight got canceled. The power of prayer can reach your child and provide a life-changing avenue for that person. I know in the church, in the body of Christ, I got to get back to the lesson. The body of Christ, we pray for everybody for all their needs. And it avails much. Whether you're sick and afflicted, shut in, whatever surgeries, the whole nine yards. We know it works. That's an example of abundant life here on earth. In John chapter 7, verses 37 through 39, there we'll see the promise of the Holy Spirit that we will receive through that abundant life. I mentioned it earlier in this lesson. He gives us so much that we're never alone. Okay? On the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If anyone thirst," what does your Bible say? Anybody?
Come to me.
Verse 37.
Mine says, "Come to me."
Come to me. Say, you have to thirst up for him, which means you have to come to him to receive that which you desire. Another thing, some people say, "I desire that which is of the Lord." Well, you still need to come to him.
Yeah.
You still have to desire him. You still have to thirst for what he has for you. Okay? I know there's different versions out there and they use different words. But what they have in common is a relationship, a need for Christ. Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scriptures have said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Our living water here is the Word of God. It gives us life and gives it more abundantly. We don't have to stand at the river's edge like the deer. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not glorified yet. Okay, in this text of the scripture, he was not glorified yet. But he still was letting those in us know that there was abundant life in him. If we would just come to him, if we would thirst for him, if we would desire him, because he's the life-giving water of an abundant life. You know, my life, life is, life in Christ gives you a peace, even if you don't see the prosperity of it. You know, you wanted that mansion on the hilltop, okay? That might be what you want, but you have Christ, and you have enough to be content. If you get it, great. If not, you know why we don't win the lottery? Because we can't handle it. What I mean by that, I'm gonna throw myself under the bus. I don't win the lottery, because really, for the most part, I don't play. But when I have played, I have concluded that I don't win because I can't handle it. How many of you have gotten prosperity and gotten big gifts and missed a few Sundays, a few Wednesdays? Those winnings and those glory, all those things, like the lottery, as an example, will separate us from Christ. We think that we don't need Christ anymore. I'm rich. You're rich now. You are rich now beyond measure. You don't need money. What was that I said in the scripture earlier? For thieves to come and moths to eat, to take and steal from you. They can't steal Christ from you. That's where you're truly rich, in the Spirit of God. That's not stealable. He gives it to all those who seek him, who thirst for him. And he will provide riches for them according to his will, according to what he deems is appropriate. Revelation 7 and 14 through 17 says, "And I say to him, Sir, you know." So he said to me, "These are the ones who come out of great tribulation." Who is that? Who comes out of great tribulations? We all have come out of great tribulations in our lives. We were not always saved believers. "These are the ones who come out of the great tribulation and washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." When you obeyed the gospel, that's exactly what you did. You came out of tribulations where you were leaning to your own understanding, doing things your own way, hoping for greatness. And there's no greatness except in Jesus Christ. "Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will dwell among them. They shall neither hunger anymore nor thirst anymore." Sound like saved believers to me. Not the lost people in the world. You say, you will not hunger anymore. You will not thirst anymore. Why? Because he's a good shepherd. He takes care of you. He provides for all your needs. He gives you what you need. I said need, not want. A mansion on the hilltop is in heaven. That's where we all strive to get. It's not here on earth. You know, you some of you think you need that place in Beverly Hills? Nah. You want the one in heaven. And he who sits on the throne will dwell among them. He's among us. He's everywhere. He's here for us. All we have to, what does the scripture say? If you seek, or no, you knock and you shall, the door will be open. Seek and you shall find. He's here. He hides himself from no one. We know he desires all men to be saved. They shall neither hunger anymore or thirst anymore. The sun shall not strike them, nor any heat. For the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to living fountains of water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. He's going to lead us. That we don't have to struggle. I shouldn't say struggle. That we don't have to go without Him. If He leads you to it, He's going to lead you through it. He's going to provide for your needs. The Lamb, our shepherd, leads us to the water by His word. And where He leads, we should follow. Follow Him all the way. For following Him leads to eternal life that we seek. Amen? This world has a way of tainting air, smoke, putting up a smoke screen, making us forget what our purpose and our goal is. We will debate the gospel many years ago. We know God. We're in prayer, but we forget where we're trying to get to. Turn with me, turn with me to Isaiah 55. We're going to look at verses 1 through 11. That says Isaiah 55, verses 1 through 11. This is your invitation to abundant life in Christ Jesus. As we read Isaiah chapter 55, verses 1 through 11. Everyone who thirsts comes to the waters. And you who have no money, come buy and eat. Yes, come, buy wine and milk, without money, without price. Why do you spend money for what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? I'm going to stop there for real quickly, and I'm going to try to expound on this a little bit. Everything we have on earth is not ours. Remember we talk about thieves and moths and rust and stuff? It only lasts for a while. What God is offering you is eternal. Okay? What He's offering you is eternal. He said you don't even have to buy it. You don't need no money for it. Did you pay to be baptized and brought into the body of Christ? Did you pay for that life-giving water which was in baptism or the blood He shed to be a child, His chosen people? No. He gave it freely. That job He gave you, the wages you've earned, He gave that to you freely too. You could not buy eternal life in heaven. All He's required of you is your faithfulness and obedience to understand Him, being faithful and strong in His word. Listen carefully to me and eat what is good. And let your soul delight itself in abundance. Incline your ear and come to me. He's calling. Hear, and your soul shall live. He said, listen to me, and your soul shall live. And I will make everlasting covenant with you. He says, I wanted an everlasting life with you, so I can give you everlasting life. Man, our God is giving. The sure mercies of David, indeed, I have given him as a witness to the people, a leader and commander for the people. Surely you shall call a nation you do not know. A nation who do not know you shall run to you because the Lord your God and the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Amen. He's calling on us to do, to seek, like I said earlier, he said, knock on the door and it'll be open and seek him. Call up on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord and he will have mercy on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, he says. Proverbs is saying. Lean not to your own understanding. But in all your ways acknowledge him, him being God, and he'll direct your path. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. And my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down and the snow from the heavens, and do not return there, but water the earth, and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void. God said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one goes through me, goes to heaven except through me. He means it. He's not just saying words. It's not going to come back void. It is the truth. But it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the things which I sent it for. Jesus alone should be your heart's desire. He is the true joy giver and the giver of life by the shedding of his blood and water. In John 19:34, what are the qualifications required in those that shall be welcome? They must thirst. All shall be welcome to the gospel grace upon his terms. Not your terms, his terms. Those that are satisfied with the world and its enjoyments for a portion and seek not the happiness in the favor of God, those that depend on their own merit and own work for righteousness and see no need to have Christ and his righteousness, they do not thirst for God. Where God gives grace, he first gives a thirsting after it. God is full of grace. Because of that grace, we should be thirsting for all that he has to offer in faithful obedience. Last scripture I want us to look at is Psalms 81:10. 81:10 says, I am the Lord your God who brought you up out of Egypt. Open wide your mouth and I will fill it. Fill it with life-giving food, which is his word, that you're going to share with the world. And he said earlier that you will no longer hunger or thirst if you seek him. Many men, including the apostles, started their life out on shaky ground. It is not near as important as where you start your life as it is where you finished your life. You want to finish your life in Christ. Where you started and when you started is not near as important as where you end. In Christ Jesus is best. If you are here this morning and you are not a child of God, you are not saved on this Lord's Day, God can't use you. God can't use you because you belong to the God of this world. You belong to Satan and sin, and until you change your position, God is not going to be able to use you and get the glory. Amen? Now, you can rectify that today. Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. You want saved, trust me. Better yet, don't trust me, trust God. Don't trust man, trust the word of God. Listen to the Savior. Don't listen to those so-called evangelists and ministers out there telling you all you have to do is open your heart and let him in and say a sinner's prayer. Nowhere in God's word does that say what you need to say that. Abide by the word of God that's in his book, in the Bible. You guys probably heard me say before, what does the Bible stand for? Basic instructions before leaving earth. B-I-B-L-E. It tells you what you need to do to be ready when he comes calling to that home on high, that eternal place in heaven. It's not a secret. It's not rocket science. So don't believe those people in the world. Believe the word of God. God sets the conditions. In Matthew 3 and 13 through 17, we see Jesus is baptized in water. If it's important enough and good enough for him, then it should be good enough and important enough for you. He said, if you just believe and be baptized, I will save you. Believe what? Believe the gospel. Where is the gospel? It's his word, and it's in the Bible. The good news that Jesus died for his sins according to the scriptures. He died and was buried and rose again on the third day. Trust in that. Stand on that. Take God at his word. You can believe in him. Those of us who are in the body and have a long relationship with him know he's never let us down. And he's kept every promise he's made. You know, sometimes